Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I'm not falling for it, Blog Talk. I'm not falling for it, man, because I just started talking, rapping, and then she would have came on and told y'all it was showtime. Well, let's get into this, Sports City, man. I got a lot of talk about badminton, you know, go-kart racing, dirt bikes. I'm doing all of that today. You know, everybody loves this stuff. I've been getting a lot of mail from people, so they want to hear me talk about badminton, dirt bikes, and you know, off-road stuff. So I'm going to do what we got to do. No NASCAR. But we got 60 minutes in this kitchen, man. We got a lot to talk about. Hopefully, y'all ready to talk about the wheels, you know, driving, because we're going to talk about all that. Man, y'all know I'm not talking about no wheels in here. Well, I am going to be talking about a certain wheel, but we'll get into that shortly. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen timeless is alive.
Like finding feathers on a house.
You take y'all somewhere else right now.
Looking for a needle and a haystack.
A nigga got zoned out with me, man.
Don't be scared.
Got zoned out with
me. Take that nigga's left at the center. Zoned out with me.
Okay, Sean, I got it from here. The call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And if these people upstairs tell me we got to put some more time on the clock, I will, because I got a good amount of topics, and I'm going to try and cover a decent amount of them, even though I know they will boil over. And a lot of the stuff that we do have, I know will spill into the cookout for tomorrow. So y'all got at least two back-to-back days of some hardcore hitting stuff in this kitchen. And I thank everybody for their participation. Everybody has been downloading the show. The numbers have been looking great. Keep doing what you're doing. If you want to send us some email, send us it at sportscitychefs@gmail.com. We've been getting responses as well. So thank you to everybody that's been helping us out, checking us out, listening in, getting their food for thought. You already know what y'all need to do. You already know the slogan, man. The call-in number is wide open. The chat room is wide open as well. I can't wait to start talking about this badminton and four-wheel ATV, stuff like that. I got nothing but that in sleep for the kitchen today. So let me get these guys in here. First and foremost, calling by way of the state of South Carolina, my big brother, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Chandler Knight. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
It's hot. It's hot, and it's hot.
See, and here goes the interesting thing. I'm gonna actually look at this in a positive perspective. September will be here in 8 days. You hear me? September will be here in 8 days. That's all I'm looking forward to. Like the summer can do what they got to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a fan of the sun. Me and you, we both dark skin, so we don't want to be around the sun like that. You know what I'm saying? I want to be far away from that sucker as possible. But I just think about September and all of them autumn days are coming. So we just have to deal with it for at least another, 20-some-odd days, and then the fall will be here to rescue us. Secondly, I don't know how to do this, Sports City, but I'm going to try my best, right? Calling in from the hottest state in America right now, in Arizona, no less, and you know, they get the average heat of like 103 to 105. And Chandler, I don't know if you've seen this link, but I put this link up and I tagged Mr. Silver, a.k.a. Nacho. Welcome to the rapper, but I tagged him, right? This dude goes outside with a frying pan and seasoned steaks, put the frying pan on the ground, and the steaks started cooking. I am not going to try it. I'm going to do my best. I'll be outdoors in Arizona, but not so welcome to the kitchen. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, I'm feeling good. Just you know, running some errands in the eighth seed. That's for sure.
Okay, so the first dirt bike that I want to talk about is the Yamaha. Yeah, right. I am not talking about dirt bikes. Y'all already know. I'm not talking about ATVs. I'm talking about the elephant in the room. That's right. Now, I'm going to make this dish as spicy and tasteful as possible for my little big brother, because he's a big boy, even though he's younger than me, so I call him my little big brother. I make this as good as possible for Mr. Silver himself, but I'm going to start with you first, Chandler. The elephant in the room situation is Jordy Nelson out for the remainder of the season with a torn MCL, right? Now, here goes the interesting situation. Now, one, and I hate the kind of, or I dislike, hate is such a bad word. I dislike to look at it like this, but I kind of have to. One, looking at two receivers in my lifetime that were phenomenal. I'm not going to lie, they were a rival, but I respect their abilities on the field. Get injured on the more questionable, more freakish situation that I've ever seen in my life. Now, one was in a, you know, a regular season game, being Sterling Sharp. And if people didn't see that injury, and he jammed his neck up, and it ended his career. Now, the way that he went to go, like, block the guy, it didn't even look like he put too much force into it, but his head got, you know, kind of in the way, and it jammed his neck up and ended his career. And it was like, it really didn't look as freakish as, you know, some injuries have been seen, you know, with a neck injury, so on and so forth. And now Jordy Nelson's situation, and not trying to, you know, compare situations, I'm just saying in general, Jordy Nelson catches a routine catch. We've seen Jordy make way better catches than this, or in situations where it's been defenders on him. He was by himself. He caught the ball, and as soon as he turned, I literally want to say the plant or the way that he spun, I don't even want to call that a spin move. He just, you know, turned upfield to try and gain yardage. As soon as he turned upfield, I guess that was when the pop happened. He went straight down and, you know, gave himself up, and that the ball was down, so on and so forth. But your thoughts on Jordy Nelson, you know, moving forward. And this is something I'm going to say in good light to Jordy Nelson compared to, and I hate to sound like I'm a Jordy Nelson fan, but I am a fan of the guy. I do respect him. Jordy Nelson is a monster compared to everybody else that has had that situation happen to him. His ligament tore, and he walked off the field on his own. He jogged off the field on his own power. You could see him with a hobble. And then he walked off into the locker room. I mean, he had a hobble, but he was walking with, you know, like speed, you know, like so I wonder how his recovery is going to be and what he's going to look like once he gets back on the field. I still feel he's going to be dangerous in the year that he's away from the game. But, Chandler, your thoughts on Jordy Nelson, him going down? Don't spill too much. I just want to look at Jordy Nelson in the core. I'm going to get into the other pieces of this team right behind this, though. But just more or less Jordy Nelson.
Well, I mean, it's a big loss for, you know, the so-called greatest quarterback of all time, which is nonsense, but, you know, we won't spill into that. No, it's a big loss for them. I mean, you got Randall Cobb. You got a couple more receivers that some people know the name, some people don't, but again, this is a really balanced conference. I think this is a huge blow. Now, based on the fact that really nobody knew who Jordy Nelson was before he kind of blew up there, there is always the reality that they could have somebody that we don't know about who's going to become the next Jordy Nelson. So I don't know if it's the huge blow that people are making it out to be. It is a big blow. But you know what? I kind of trust Mike McCarthy in that offense to kind of have somebody waiting in the wings.
Okay, Mr. Silver, I'm going to actually spice this up for you. I'm going to jump right into everything, right? Because, you know, you close out the show this way, so I got to do it like this. Now, Jordy Nelson going down and why it went down, you know, I tried to hit you up and speak to you. You said you wanted to wait till you heard the supreme diagnosis or whatever, right? And now everything gets laid out. And I have to kind of spice this up outside of what I just addressed to Chandler. But looking at this situation with Jordy going down, do they bring back a guy like James Jones, You know what I'm saying? The receiver that is a part of, well, he used to be a part of this situation. And two, and I'm going to get to Chandler after you're done with it. Does this pump up Aaron Rodgers more than ever? Now, this is, and I'm not going to lie, because they are the men of the division right now until you beat them, until you knock them off. To beat a man, you got to beat the man. So that's how I'm looking at it. Now, I really look at how Aaron Rodgers goes out there and plays, and he plays loosely. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows where his targets are. He knows who he has to hit, so on and so forth. Now, with one of his targets out, people have so many things to say, so many question marks, this, that, and third. Is this actually safe for people to watch or wait to see what Aaron Rodgers is going to do next? I don't want to see him enticed to go out there and play his 100% football, because if that's the case, he could terrorize the NFL. I'm actually concerned about this situation with Jordy Nelson, that Aaron Rodgers have to go out there and prove himself this season. Now, the receiver that he does have there, he has Adams, he has Boykin also, as well as his premier receiver in Randall Cobb still there. Your thoughts on what your team is faced with, especially with your quarterback being Aaron Rodgers, the back-to-back MVP and all that other stuff. So we could dig right into it.
You know, as it pertains to Jordy Nelson and his injury alone and what it means for him, you were right. The fact that I questioned it even when you asked me, even though I had read it on multiple sources as well, was the fact that he not only went down, popped back up, what it seemed to be all intents and purposes, jogged with the hobble off the field, was seen and videoed walking normally back to the locker room through the tunnel, like with a obvious limp, but walking normally. Those signs, comparatively speaking, and when you hear ACL or MCL tear, you don't hear jogging, walking normally, or doing anything directly after an injury like that. So the fact that he was doing that was part of the main reason I was skeptical that it was a full tear or anything to that nature, which it doesn't seem to be a full tear. But the thing is, that is, you know, the testament to how, you know, I guess, quote-unquote, tough he may be, how much of a beast he is, and things like that. So the fact that he was able to, you know, sustain an injury like that and just be able to, with his own power, run off the field, walk off of the field, you know, that just speaks to how much of a beast he truly is physically. So his comeback may be a little quicker than we anticipated. He'll obviously miss this whole year, whatever we do, but next year I think he'll be raring and ready to go and back to being that number one Jordy. And like you said, a monster the way he came, got off the field and did that. So I think he'll be able to come back and be Jordy on the field again next year. It's a tough loss for the team. Now for Aaron Rodgers, like you said, the moment this came out, the question started lingering. Can they repeat again? Can they keep the consecutive division title alive? Can they keep winning the division? Can they keep doing this? Can they make the playoffs? You know, are they even now a Super Bowl title contender? All those questions, that they're valid. When you pay a guy the way that we pay Jordy Nelson, when you have to keep him, you know, it speaks volumes when you lose a guy like that. So those questions are understandable, but I feel you hit the nail on the head. The moment you start questioning Aaron Rodgers, the moment we start getting on him, he seems to play outstanding. He seems to, you know, do what he does to the umpteenth level, like you said, 100%. And the Lord, the whole world, and everyone knows what happens when he plays at 100%. Super Bowl MVPs and Super Bowls are won. So this is one of those things that we need to see. That as Packer fans, Aaron Rodgers take this under his own belt and say, you know, no disrespect to my receivers, but I make them who they are. And that's the thing, and the caveat with every receiver we have, the common denominator is that they're quarterback. The reason why they can't be elite or can't be great or can't be one of the top-notch receivers in this game is because their quarterback, who's throwing to them, denigrates how good a talent they are. So that's one of the things you also have to take into account, the quarterback that's throwing them the ball. And you know, like you said, there's a bevy of receivers, and all of them are second years to rookies, 3 years, all in this system. You know, they don't know how to do it wrong yet, so to speak, as it pertains to the Packer way. So there is no hesitation that, you know, we're going to lose any games now or be in trouble of losing the division or anything like that. It just sucks because we know what Jordy Nelson can bring to the table. Now we just have to wait and see who the next guy is, pretty much. That's what it comes down to, being a Packer fan and looking at this. It sucks for us because, like I said, we know what he brings to the field. We see the spectacular catches. We buy the jersey for a reason. He got the contract extension for a reason. And that's the thing that, you know, we're just going to have to not be able to see Jordy Nelson week in and week out this year. But we trust in the closest thing to a farm system that this league has is, I think, the Green Bay Packers. We grow from the draft. We go undrafted free rookies, and we keep them on our system. And we keep them around, and when we need them, they come up and they perform, and we need them to do what we need to do. So I trust in these receivers, and I trust that these guys can do the job. And we don't need one guy to come out and put the numbers. Jordy comes up. We just need every guy to come up and do their job, and Aaron will get them the ball.
I'm sorry, Ty. I heard something, and I need to make sure I heard it. Maybe I was hearing things. Did he say, when you question Aaron Rodgers, that's when Super Bowls are won? Because last I checked, Aaron Rodgers only won one Super Bowl. I just needed clarity on that.
Yeah, because he hasn't been questioned over the past 4 years. He's been crowned as the best in the league, and he there's no one that's better than him. He can move outside the pocket, which the man he's in, the Brady's, can't do. Now, the moment his number one receiver goes down, this team can't win the division, can't win the Super Bowl. You know, we're nothing without him, and Aaron Rodgers is nothing without Jordy Nelson. That's the overall media conception. So when you start doing that, I feel that that's when you question him. It was year three. The questions were there. The Arizona game was looming as it pertains to playoffs. We got to the playoffs. He went on a tear, and we won a Super Bowl. The questions about Aaron Rodgers in year three were there, and I think now the questions about him are here again. Can he win in the playoffs? Can he not choke, and can he do it without a true number one? Are these receivers really a product of him? And I think that's what he'll prove this year.
Okay, but you said Super Bowls. I'm still stuck on the plural of the Super Bowls because there's only been one.
So, okay, I meant to say Super Bowl MVP. I didn't mean to say plural. Sorry about that. I was getting overzealous there, like he already won this year.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the state of Aaron Rodgers, no less. Now, you know, everybody's all hype about the Jordy Nelson situation, but everybody's forgetting the guy that throws him the ball is the biggest factor of them all. And, you know, what if this revs his engine up even more to go out there and prove that this guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the league? I said top three because everybody will throw either him, Peyton, or Brady in that conversation. So I leave that up in the air. So your thoughts on the situation if this does motivate Aaron Rodgers to go on a tear and scare the league and one of the more surprising forms where a lot of people think it's, you know, virtually over without Jordy and making it a one-name show, if you will, with Cobb being the biggest name now that Jordy's down.
Well, see, I never subscribed to the theory that he's the best in the league because if you're the best, then that means you're going to win at the end of the season. To me, the best quarterback in the league is the guy who's holding the Super Bowl trophy. I don't care who it is. That's just me. I don't care about numbers. All I care about is winning. And since quarterbacks get all the credit for winning, then whoever wins the Super Bowl is the best quarterback to me. That's just me. Now, I think Aaron Rodgers is more a product of this offense than his receivers are a product of him. I think his numbers, his receivers' numbers, are more a product of the system that he plays in than they are of anything else. That's just me being honest. Do I think he could be successful in another system? I think he could, but he's never been in another system. So for right now, I'd have to say he's a product of the system that he's in. I think that system is designed so that no matter who's catching the ball, they're going to be successful. No matter who's throwing the ball, they're going to be successful. Mike McCarthy, That organization, along with the talent they've acquired, mesh well together. So do I think Aaron Rodgers is going to fall off the face of the earth because you have Jordy Nelson? Absolutely not. Do I think it's going to be because of Aaron Rodgers? No, I don't. I think it's because of the system. I think the system is designed so that it's next man up. Remember when we didn't know who Jordy Nelson was? Remember when we were like, Jordy, what? How'd you get rid of Greg Jennings? Who the hell's that white guy? Remember that? Oh, you only talking about him because he's white. No, Jordy Nelson's really, 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 really good. But I guarantee you there's a receiver on that team right now that can step in and do damn near the same thing Jordy Nelson did. And it will say the same thing about him. Oh, he's a product of the system. James Jones flourished in that system. Has James Jones done anything anywhere else? No, he hasn't. So I think it's more system than quarterback, personally. I don't think they're going to fall off the face of the earth. I think they're going to score just as many points. I still don't think they win more than 9-10 games, but I don't think there's an appreciable drop-off, honestly, because Jordy Nelson's not there.
Nacho, would you like to reply to what has been said, or? Nacho, are you still there?
Yeah, I had it muted. The thing is we're coming to the same conclusion. The fact, the behind it is different. He says it's the system why we won't fail or drop below what we're supposed to do. I say it's the quarterback. So we're at just a common ground of disagreeing at that major function. But everything else seems to be the same. I don't feel we're going to drop off in production. I don't feel we're going to drop off in wins or losses. He feels the same way. We feel obviously different on how many wins and losses, but it really just, to me, it means all the same thing. Jordy Nelson is integral. We needed him. He was the number one. He got paid like the number one should have got paid, and he went down, which stinks for our team because a lot of us fans bought his jersey, and you know, he was that guy. He made big plays, but like Chandler said, there's somebody probably in those 10 other receivers that are on this roster. There's another guy that's probably really, 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 really good too, besides Randall Cobb. So we're just going to have to find him, and we're going to have to see. The good thing is it's happened preseason game two and not week four or five when this offense is clicking and running on all cylinders and Jordy Nelson is an integral part, and things of that nature. We see what happens when offenses are clicking and major receivers go down in the middle of the season as opposed to the preseason. Some teams can, you know, figure it out. Some teams can't. I think the team can figure it out, and I think we can move on from it.
And just like I said, the guys from last year, like Adams and Boykin, especially the way that they stepped up in the playoffs up against Dallas to make it a game up against those
Boykin
Cowboys and actually say it again.
Sorry, not to cut you off, but Boykin doesn't play for us anymore. I believe he's down in Jacksonville. I'm not sure exactly where he went, but we don't have.
Okay, so you guys
right
already.
We're looking at you know, Jeff Janis, Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery, and Jared Aberderis. Those are the guys that we're looking to move on up pretty much the position. The rest of the other guys are rookies, but that's who we have behind Randall Cobb.
Okay, and also Ty Montgomery is a monster outside too. And he has kick return, and it's the same. This is what I knew about Jordy before, and people don't believe me. This is what I knew about Jordy before he got to go. Golden State, Green Bay, because he was a kick returner at Kansas State. He had speed to take it to the house. A lot of people didn't even know about this guy at the receiver position. So when they go to defend him, they're thinking that, hey, he's some white guy. That's how they're looking at it. And this dude will burn you. He has similarity to a situation on when Tim Dwight used to be on the field, the wide receiver that used to play for the Falcons. He got passed to a couple of teams and had dangerous speed as well. But, you know, he gets underrated on his speed, and he has height. He's 6'3", has, you know, long arms as well, so you got to defend him. He's strong as an ox. So now knowing that Boykin is gone, that's actually a different situation. But they're going to ask for a lot out of a rookie, and Ty Montgomery coming from Stanford, and also the guy Adams as well, because Adams made a name for himself last year. Like I said, I don't think that these guys are going to miss too much of a beat, especially with a quarterback like Rodgers is, you know, he's cool as ever. I think he's more of the approachable quarterback. I've never really seen him in an adverse situation on that sideline yelling at any of his players. They get it. They click. And To have a guy like Randall Cobb, you still got to be a guy that runs 4.3 speed, and he's underneath the madness, you know, and they can move him like a chess piece. They can put him in the backfield, you know, put him in the slot. There's a lot of interesting things that you have to worry about with this Green Bay Packer offense. That's why I had to say it like this. I'm not really concerned about Jordy leaving. I still think that that's a huge piece that they're missing in their offense, but I don't think it's like they'll be set back to an 8-8 season. Or Rodgers is throwing a hell of a lot of interceptions. Like, I don't think that's the same type of season. If you doubt them, I think you'll be horrifically wrong in going up against the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and thinking that you're going to have your way with them and, you know, pinning your ears back, getting after them. Plus, don't forget, Rodgers is mobile, so he can take off, too. Like all of this is still in play. This is all still in play for Aaron Rodgers. I don't even like that I'm talking junk for the Packers. Like, I'm nauseous. I'm nauseous.
I just got asked a question, and it's a good question because I don't know the answer. So let's ask Nacho. Was Rodgers Favre's backup when they won the Super Bowl?
No.
Say that one more time.
Yes.
Was Aaron Rodgers on the team when Brett Favre won the Super Bowl?
No, he was not.
Okay, no, because remember I brought up the whole pool of Super Bowls, and they were like, well, wasn't Rodgers his backup? And I'm like, you know what? That's a really good question. I don't know. So I wanted to ask you guys because I couldn't remember.
I don't even think Rodgers was in.
Yeah, Rodgers too young for that. But
Rodgers probably wasn't even in high school right there.
Okay, I don't remember, man. You know I've had a lot of head trauma. That's why I'm asking the question.
No. I understand. Shoot, Rodgers is younger than me, and I was a freshman in high school right there. So I know he was in, like, middle school right there. So, like I know. I know. So I'm feeling some type of way. Like, I'm like, shoot, then I don't know what happened. Did I get in a hot tub time machine? Who knows? But, granted, this is something that I'm looking forward to see. I really want to see what they look like with the first team because week three is where you see majority of that first team get a lot more snaps and then they rest them as much as possible for the week four situation in the preseason. So this week we will see what Rodgers looks like with whoever fills that void while Jordy is out. And if they do go out in free agency, you end up picking up somebody. Now, moving on, and speaking of which, in the free agency market, Sports City, excuse me, because I'm a little frustrated, even though I am happy for the guy. But I'm frustrated. I'm happy for Reggie Wayne. Let me just get this out of the way. I'm happy for him, but I'm going to tell you why I'm frustrated. I'm happy because he went to the Patriots, but I'm frustrated on how in the world all of these teams out here in the NFL are just overlooking Reggie Wayne. He might be an old guy and so on and so forth. And let Belichick get his hands on this guy and put another deadly piece to this offense while either Brady comes back week one or comes back week five. However we look at this situation, he has another weapon in the core of guys that make plays. You got Edelman, you got Amendola, now you got Reggie Wayne, and don't forget top two tight end in the league or the best, however you, him and Jimmy Graham are 1A, 1B. I'm just saying like that. Gronkowski. That, you mean to tell me that this is what is going to happen to Brady when he gets back? They are coming off of winning a Super Bowl, and y'all give him Reggie Wayne? This is crazy. Like I'm happy because I want to see Reggie Wayne go out on a good note. I'm biased. I'm a Hurricane fan, and I love Reggie Wayne ever since he was in orange and green. Couldn't stand him because he was a weapon of Peyton Manning's. Ever since he tore his ligament and his knee, a lot of people doubted his efforts out there on the field. He did decently with Andrew Luck as much as he possibly could. But now he is a weapon for Thomas Brady when he gets back and gets to play this full season. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Up or down, good, bad, or indifferent, there's no wrong, right or wrong answer regardless. I know we'll debate anyway. Nacho, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on Reggie Wayne in Foxborough.
You know, I like Reggie Wayne as a receiver, but I don't know if this makes a giant enough splash on that receiving core. You know, like you said, they've got who they've got, and then they've got Gronk and things of that nature. Losing Vereen as a running back, you want to get a little more production. So I do feel this is a good pickup for them. I don't think it's a big splash or a big enough splash to make up for the deficiencies on that defense and losing all the players that they did. those top-notch players and things of that nature. So I do believe this is definitely good for the offense. They have someone who's a veteran who can get the offense down pat and do what he needs to do. You have no questions about Reggie Wayne coming in and making this team and becoming a viable part of this offense. But I do question whether.
Hey guys, sorry for the wait. How many things?
Sorry about that. The real question is, you know, is it going to make up for the lack of defense that this team will have, considering the pieces they lost? And I don't think it will. But I do like to pick up. Obviously, a veteran like Reggie Wayne is something that any team in this league should have. Like you, I wondered why him and a couple other players stayed off the market for so long, are on the market for so long, and took you know, these teams long enough to get them in there and get them on their squads. But I just don't think it does the big enough boost for this Patriots to bump wins in their column of things of that nature.
Now, when you speak on, before I go to Chandler, when you speak on their defense having loopholes, I mean, outside of Wolfork, I mean, what presence in their defense do you think has another big gaping hole that deserves, you know, concern?
I'm sorry, didn't they have Darrell Revis last year? Losing him is a big integral part of that secondary. Now that you don't have a number one corner that can stop pretty much any number one receiver in the league, that's a big missing piece. That's big of the reason they won the Super Bowl. They had a defense that, like you said, with Vince Wilfork and with Darrell Revis, not only do you lose one of your key pieces of your front seven, but you lose one of your key pieces of your back end. That's two big pieces that I feel that they lose. And not only do you don't even know the health of some of their players, like a Dante Hightower, if he's going to come back and stay healthy.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the signing for one season that they get. Now, mind you, the last time Brady got a receiver with a name was Moss and Welker, to think of it, you know, and everybody else, he basically built their stardom up. And not to say that these guys weren't talented in their own right. I don't want to, you know, mislead people and say that these guys aren't talented in their own right. But, he's getting a guy with an interesting resume at the end of his career, though. Reggie Wayne is at the end of his career. That's one thing that I have to admit. He is at the end of his career. But knowing that he's coming from an offense not only that was led by Andrew Luck, but the other quarterback before him, he was with Peyton Manning. So he's been with at least three relevant top 10, top 15 quarterbacks in the game throughout the entirety of his career. And adding him to the system of Belichick in that offense, your thoughts on this signing for your division rival, New England Patriots?
It doesn't really – I don't think it makes a difference, honestly. I think Reggie Wayne's going to get hurt at some point. His body's breaking down on him. I think Nacho's right. It doesn't make up for their deficiencies on defense, and you ask which ones. They have no secondary, Ty. They had to move Devin McCourty to cornerback. They moved him from cornerback, for those who don't remember, 3 years ago, because he can't play cornerback. He sucks. They moved him to safety. He doesn't want to play cornerback. He wants to play safety. They moved him to cornerback. Their secondary sucks. They also lost Brandon Browner. They lost literally their entire secondary in the offseason. They lost Vince Wilfork. Reggie Wayne, honestly, at this stage in his career, he's a possession guy. He's not a number two. He's not even a number three anymore. And you said Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola like they're somebody. Danny Amendola is a walking concussion, and Julian Edelman is a walking injury. So, Reggie Wayne, come on. I mean, I know it's a name, but not for nothing. There's a reason no one else wanted him. And there's some teams that really needed a receiver. And the Patriots are the ones who got him. Will he make one or two big catches for them? Probably. Will they win a Super Bowl with him? Well, they didn't win one with Randy Moss. So, no. I really don't see this as a big deal. I really don't. Other than the fact that his name is Reggie Wayne, his talent says that he's Joe Smith.
Okay, and now, and looking at their defense, I mean, they still have a lot of interesting pieces on the defensive side of the ball. McCourty did not move. He's still at the safety position, him and Chung.
Yes, he is.
Because
they moved him to corner. They moved him to corner.
Chandler, I'm looking at their roto situation right now, their depth chart.
Look up the story that they just interviewed him for. He's been moved to cornerback.
Until I find that situation, or you send me something right now, I'm looking at Butler, the guy that made the interception that changed everything, even though he should not have even been in a situation to make an interception. But he's one corner, and they have Fletcher on the other side of the ball, too, from what I'm seeing right now. So until you find that story and send it to me, I'll go off of that. But I don't see that from what I'm seeing right now. McCourty's a safety. Him and Chung are in the backfield. So the interesting piece in that defense that I'm looking at right now is Wilfork being missing up front. And Browner is another key piece to that secondary. But I still feel like these guys could actually play decent defense. It's not like people are going to roll on the Patriots. I mean, what, they give up 17 to 24 points a game and still have to fight with a guy like Brady, and now that he has another piece in Reggie Wayne? I mean, you have to defend the entire field, let alone what's coming out of the backfield. I mean, that's how Shane Marine was successful in the Super Bowl, because he was taking what they could get. That defense was flying back trying to defend Gronk and them. They pick up what's underneath and pick up those yards. This is still an offense that you got to be concerned with, and knowing everything that Reggie Wayne's been through, he could be a possession receiver. They're not asking him to burn the field up and, you know, run a 40-yard fly like that. That's not what they need from Reggie Wayne. They need somebody to get attention from Gronk and Edelman underneath. And say what you want. If you think Edelman isn't a monster on that field, is not making a difference to that offense, I beg to differ. Now, Amendola, that's debatable. That is a debatable situation. I think that he's still, trying to find his way, even though he had an interesting, you know, run in the Super Bowl or whatever, and helped. He scored, actually, in the Super Bowl as well, too. So I still feel like that offense has some pieces. They add Reggie Wayne to this. This is going to be tough. And this is a key addition, knowing that he wants to try and go out on a bang, too. And not to say that this is a promising situation for the Patriots to win the Super Bowl again. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl back-to-back, especially with them dealing with this situation with Brady at the start of the season, hand it to them. I mean, give them the keys to the NFL. I could care less on how people look at this situation. But
check your Twitter. Check your Twitter. I just sent you the story, since you don't believe me. Check your Twitter.
Okay, I'll check
the dude, Chandler.
Okay, and I'll check for that. Now, what else were you saying, Nacho?
Oh, nothing. I found the story. I was going to read it to you, but they did move him there, but we can move on from this whenever you're ready.
Okay, so I'll check on this, and we'll see if that lasts throughout the season. Now, moving forward to the next topic that I do have, we have Hoyer being assigned a situation of being a quarterback down there in Houston. Now, I know a lot of people were saying Mallett should be the guy, Hoyer should be the guy. Now, interesting enough, Hoyer coming from one situation being out there in Cleveland, now he's leading this Houston Texan team with no dynamic pieces around him other than really Hopkins on the outside. I want to know how you guys feel about Hoyer leading this Houston Texas team. Now, mind you, this team has a stacked defense. They're watching Clowney closely. J.J. Watt comes back from, you know, being a monster in the field, period. I mean, I don't know how to address this. I got into a couple of debates with Brian Cushing. If Cushing could go a full season, I want to know your thoughts on the Houston Texans in this season, especially with Hoyer starting anew after leaving the Cleveland Browns. Now, mind you, he was off to a good start up there in Cleveland, had them playoff relevant. He goes to a team with a stout defense, no less, and another Patriot system with O'Brien. Your thoughts on this Houston Texan team with Hoyer being named the starter. Chandler, I'll come to you first.
Well, let's see. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I should talk, because you never believe anything I say. But anyway, yeah, I'm feeling around the way right now.
I'm feeling some kind of way. I think no matter who the Texans pick as quarterback, they're going to be 7-9. That's my personal opinion. They're 7-9 no matter who they pick. I personally think the best place for Brian Hoyer was Cleveland. I think the system they're running in Cleveland fit him. I think what he's going to be asked to do in Houston, keep in mind they have no Arian Foster, which means the quarterback is going to be asked to win games. Brian Hoyer is not built to win you games. He's not built to throw 30 times a game. He's not built for it. Brian Mallett's not built for it. I think it's a bad fit. I don't care who they picked. It would have been 7-9. I like Brian Hoyer. I like them in Cleveland. I don't like him in Houston. I think they're a 7-19. I think it was a mistake to name him the starting quarterback. Personally, I think it was a mistake to have him and Ryan Mallett on the roster. But that's a different conversation for a different day. I don't see any benefit to Brian Hoyer being your starting quarterback. He's played 16 games total in his career. He's played 16 games. He started 16 NFL games. He showed over the last 9 games of those 16, this is over 2 seasons, people, that he was unable to adjust to the defenses adjusting to him. That's why he started having a problem in Cleveland, because they had film on him. They adjusted to him, and he wasn't able to adjust to those adjustments. That film is still there. That film is still there. This is the preseason. Everybody looks good in the preseason. Everybody looks good in the preseason. Okay? Everybody. Zach Mettenberger is looking great this preseason. Anybody want him as their starting quarterback? Anybody think he's going to lead somebody to a playoff team? Chase Daniels looked like a world beater. Anybody think he's leading somebody to the playoffs? Matt Sims, when he was with the Jets, looked really good in the preseason. Anybody want him as a starting quarterback? I don't care what they do in the preseason. What matters to me is what you do in regular season that's on film. Brian Hoyer is a limited guy. Brian Hoyer is not a guy you can count on for 30 passes a game. The Houston Texans need a quarterback who can throw them to victory. That is not Brian Hoyer. So they're 7-9 with him or without him.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on Hoyer being named the starter for the Houston Texans team, knowing O'Brien is a piece from, you know, that Belichick tree, if you will, and he got out of there and went to Penn State and tried to start anew. Now he has his own team, own system down there in Houston. How your thoughts on Hoyer coming from a team like Cleveland that he had to actually make, you know, an interesting hand out of what he was dealt up there. Your thoughts on if he could turn his Houston Texans team into a relevant team in the AFC South?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe they were only a game or 2 games out of first place when they yanked Hoyer out of that starting position to throw in Johnny Manziel, which we all know the reason why they did that. Was to, you know, sabotage Manziel and to, you know, do whatever they felt like they could do and wanted to do to Brian Hoyer. So I believe in the kid. I think the guy can definitely get the job done. The problem is that I just don't know if he's going to be able to produce the amount of offense because of the lack of weapons. That's the biggest problem. I really feel that they don't have anything outside of DeAndre Hopkins. And with the injury that was inevitable, but we didn't expect it this soon, of Arian Foster, that's definitely something that's going to hinder them as well. So I don't think that Brian Hoyer is going to be the problem. I don't think he's going to turn over the ball. I think he's going to be pretty safe with it. I just feel like there's not going to be enough talent around him to get enough points on the board for his defense. But if that defense plays well enough, he might not need to get – like we all know, with great defenses, all you need to do is, you know, protect the ball and get enough points to get more than the other team. And more often than not, it's not more than 14 points. So 14, 17 points if you've got an elite defense. And what's shaping up to be that defense could be, you brought up the health of Brian Cushing. That is a big thing. I know he's, very, very hard to watch. If you're watching these Hard Knocks, I really can't stand the guy watching him in practice, but the output on the field is what it is. albeit the steroid use or the PED use that he went through early in his career, he's still one of the best linebackers in this league outside of I feel. So, you know, if he could stay healthy, Jadeveon Clowney's healthy, J.J. Watt's going to be who he is, and they can get some back-end help. They definitely could be – they have a chance to be one of the best defenses in the league. Do I think they will be? I don't think so. I think they'll be good to borderline great. I just don't think they'll be one of the best in the league, being top four or five. But if Brian Hoyer, like I said, if he can make something out of nothing and make a splash and do what would possibly be the equivalent of, you know, making a miracle out of nothing, you know, making nothing out of something, I think that's what – it'll take for them to, you know, get multiple wins and things of that nature. But I do have more faith in Brian Hoyer over Ryan Mallett, and I do have more faith that Brian Hoyer is not going to lose them games. I just fear that there's not going to be enough talent around him.
Now, let me tweak it a little bit in the kitchen, see how you guys feel about this. Can Hoyer have this team 8-8 or better, or 8-8 or worse? I'll come right back to you, Nacho.
I think if you're choosing between Ryan Mallett or Brian Hoyer, your best chance to get 8-8 and better is Brian Hoyer, and I think that's what he does. I honestly believe this is an 8-8 team right now. They are middle of the road. Their defense is going to win them a lot of games. But like I said, I just feel the talent on the offensive side of the ball is going to have them struggle a lot. So I have them as a 500 team, and hopefully they can get some weapons for their quarterback. But 500, I think it's 8-8 or better. If they can sneak in a win against a team that sleeps on them defensively.
And Chandler said 7-9. Unless you feel different, you're staying with the 7-9 situation, right, Chandler?
7-9, because, again, Nacho pointed out, they have no offensive weapons, which means the quarterback is going to be relied upon to elevate the play of those around him. That's not who Brian Hoyer is. You're asking him to be somebody he's not. You're asking him to be Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning. You're asking him to be one of those guys. He's not who he is, man. Now, if you had given him, say, Andre Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Arian Foster, I'd say it's an 11-win team. Easy. With just DeAndre Hopkins being double covered, 8 in the box, where's he going to go? 7-9.
Okay, fair enough. I do want to keep it in the state of Texas with the running back dilemma, and I told everybody yesterday during the brunch that I wanted to get to this situation. Now, you have Joseph Randle, you have Darren McFadden, and you also have Dunbar being the three-headed situation that they have at the running back position. I want to know how you guys feel about this, because they said that there is a conversation going on that DMC could possibly start for this team, where – we all think Randle may end up being the starter at the running back position, but DMC, finally away from Oakland, does he get to play a full 16-game season is what I'm fully concerned about. Chandler, your thoughts on the situation between the running back situation, watching a guy like DeMarco Murray go to Philadelphia, there is questions still here before week one comes around for this Dallas Cowboys team.
I don't know if Darren McFadden is going to play 16 games. I'm going to tell you this. He's going to play more games than DeMarco Murray. You can record that, bookmark it, write it down, put it in a time capsule, whatever you need to do. He's going to play more games than DeMarco Murray. Because, again, I don't think he's getting more than 20 touches per game, whether he starts or not. So, yeah, I think he can play a full season. I think Jerry Jones is smart enough to realize that Darren McFadden is a guy who is best served in small bites. 15 touches here, 20 touches there, 10 touches here. There's some games he might only get 11 touches, but I guarantee you he'll have close to 80, 90 yards based on who they play. So I think he could be the starter. He's not going to get the lion's share of the reps. He might start the game, he's not getting the lion's share of the reps. He can't, because if you give him 25 carries a game, it's only going to last 4 games. And that's on paper. That's, you know, on film, whatever you want to call it. That's his track record. That's what he's established. He's not built for it. because he's an upright runner who doesn't miss contact. And his body doesn't take contact well. So if you give him 15 to 20 carries, max, he'll last 16 games for you. So, yeah, I think he can start. And like I said, he's going to start more games than DeMarco Murray will.
Okay, Nacho, your thoughts on the running back. I was going to say quarterback controversy, but that's Romo's job. That's Romo's job, regardless of people picking on him or not. But your thoughts with the running back controversy that's going on down here in Dallas, is it, I think Dunbar is really going to be third string, but they haven't marked as second. But I think it's more or less between Randall and DMC. And there are some situations where they think DMC can end up starting for this Dallas Cowboys team. And knowing that this is one of Jerry Jones' favorites, does DMC start or does Randall start for this Cowboys team?
I think it's irrelevant who starts a game. I think this is the quintessential running back by committee team now. This is a team that's not going to rely on one, quote-unquote, Darren McFadden to run, to tote the ball 300-plus times a year. They are going to use all three in the best way possible, in the best way they can. They don't have the number one offensive line for no reason, and they're going to use it for the best reason possible, which is running the ball. They realize that you don't need a number one quintessential running back who has a possibility of getting injured when you tote the ball 300 times with just him, when you can have three or four stable running backs tote the ball as many times as possible because your offensive line is going to make anyone look great. At any given time last year, all three running backs looked like the number one receiver running behind that O-line. You can find highlight reels of all three of them running behind that O-line with big gaping holes and getting big plays, first downs, and touchdowns. So this is, to me, the starting running back week to week is kind of irrelevant. Whoever's healthiest, whoever's working the best all week, that's who's going to get the quote-unquote start. If he doesn't seem to be running the ball well, next man up. They have a bevy, as you quoted now, with three running backs that can tote the ball behind this O-line. And D-Mac, who at points can be the legitimate number one, like you said, but he's good in small doses. So the problem is you don't want him in a lot of doses. Perfect solution, you get more running backs that also can be good in small doses. You put them together behind possibly the best offensive line in NFL today, and you can run the ball no matter what. So I don't feel that this is a legitimate one guy as a starter. He has his backup, so forth and so on. This will be the running back by committee that we will see. I think that the valuement of the running back is more evident in Dallas than anything else, with one true and only fact. There's only been one time that the leading rusher in the NFL from that year to the next year went and left teams. That was DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray is the only leading rusher in the NFL to play for one team and the following year play for the other. That proves to me that they have no valuement in the running back and they feel anyone can tilt the ball. That's why they picked up a D-Mac who we all know is injury prone. They know that they can use him in small doses and get the best out of him with this O-line. Long-winded, but I feel that this is kind of who's hot on this day will get the most touches and will definitely do what they need to do as running back. So I think it's more towards this O-line than it is who will get the starting job, because whoever runs the best behind the O-line will get the most touches that particular game.
And that's the reason why I brought this up, because they put DMC into this conversation, and for the past two or three seasons, DMC has had injury-riddled seasons all the way throughout this process. And for him to go to the ideal team that he wanted to be at also, as well as Jerry Jones, you know, pecking after this guy to be the running back for Dallas, even though he wanted Adrian Peterson as well, to put him in the discussion, it sets up for an interesting discussion, you know, later on down the road. If he is successful, it's like, wow, where did this come from? But if he ends up breaking down like normal, because it's always something with his foot, you know, and this is what gets his money. You know what I'm saying? He has to get the pay dirt somehow if his foot is fully healed. So I'm worried about DMC, but a lot of people believe in Randall, especially with the success that he had last year backing up a guy like Murray. And he knows what to run with, the offense that they have right now. It's an interesting discussion, to say the least. But, I wanted to throw that out there yesterday. But knowing we had a lot of interesting stuff that we jumped into, I had to try to push it here and see how the guys felt.
And to be completely honest with the whole fact of D-Mac, the surprise wouldn't be him getting a lot of touches and yards and touchdowns, a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards if he played. The surprise is him being healthy. Because the talent, obviously, we've seen it in the flashes in Oakland. The talent is there. It's just staying healthy. So I think if he is to play all 16 games, to start all 16 games, and be the tote holder 20-plus times a game and put up gaudy numbers, I don't think the gaudy numbers would be surprising more so to me as it would be that he played all 16 games and he toted the ball that much.
Okay. Chiller, anything else that you'd like to address with the Dallas offense or actually at the running back position, or we move forward? Well, actually, we are at the doorstep.
No, I think Nacho summed it up perfectly.
Okay, like I said, I had a couple of MLB topics, but I could push them. I did want to ask you about CeCe. The Yankees are looming that they think that his season could be over. I wanted to ask Chandler that. Also, the situation with Reyes. Reyes wanted to get out of Colorado, and I really want to discuss that because he's frustrated right after the trade went down. And also, like I said, I pushed it to today for the three teams that I had in question about the Astros, the Cubs, and the Mets, and how these guys had struggled to get to the postseason. Well, now it looks like all three of these teams are making a push, or at least the Mets and Astros are making a push to get there. The Cubs still have some work to do, but I think they could probably get there as well. If you guys would like to say anything in closing on that, or we could save a lot of this tomorrow for the cookout, because I definitely have some very big dishes for tomorrow. I wanted to bring it up today, but I said I wanted to save it for the cookout because I had a lot of stuff that in depth I wanted to bring here, especially with the Jordy Nelson situation, and I knew that would kind of carry, especially the way that we've been eating on a lot of these dishes as of lately. So, I mean, you could say things in closing if you want. I definitely went upstairs and got it extended to, you know, give us a proper closeout so you don't have to rush at all. I'll come to you first, Nacho. Anything that you've heard me just say or mention, or we could just get a clean closeout either, or whichever you prefer, here at the wrap-up.
As it pertains to the baseball questions, you know, I don't know too much about that. And those teams in particular, I don't know very lot about those. But I did have a baseball topic I did want to get into, and I just will ask you to, since it will be in my closing statement, with the Dodgers on a 5-game skid and the Diamondbacks on a 4-game winning streak and only 5 games back with a lot of baseball to play, you think this could be an interesting race out here in the NL West? That's it. Actually, I just wanted to ask you that. It's the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers and the NL West, if that can be an interesting race that you guys are interested in watching, as well as what's going on out there in the AL and the other teams in the NL divisions. Again, Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We have some pretty awesome fight coming up on Saturday with Abner Mars and Santa Cruz. This is definitely something worth watching. We'll get into it whenever we can. I know Ty and I will get on the phone as soon as possible. We'll get this food fight going. But the thing is, boxing is free. Boxing is back. We got some great fights coming up. And Deontay Wilder on free boxing. Everyone gets to see the U.S. Heavyweight Champion for free. That's always awesome. Again, thank you guys for letting me come on. And you guys have a great evening. You know, Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up, Sports City. You know, I hope Jordy gets healthy. And, you know, let's just go back-to-back MVPs like always. I don't ever, you know, falter on that. His health is fine. As long as Aaron's healthy, his numbers will never decrease. Again, you guys are awesome. Thank you guys so much.
He missed it yesterday. I know he missed that back-to-back MVP crap yesterday, so I did well yesterday, but he snuck it out today. That's cool. But I know there's a lot of work for the Diamondbacks to get back in position, and I don't know how long the Dodgers are going to be sliding, but that's an interesting question in itself. Chandler, your thoughts on that and anything else that you heard me close out with as a statement that you'd like to say toward, or also just give us a closeout as well. But from Nacho's question as well, do you think the Diamondbacks can make this a three-way race? I really feel like if the Dodgers fall out, I think it's the Giants again back in the postseason, and then you got to worry about Bumgarner and them. But Chandler, your thoughts?
Well, I think Don Mattingly will once again screw this up, and the Dodgers won't win the division. They might make the playoffs as a wild card. They're not winning the division. Don Mattingly should be fired. He should have been fired a year ago. He should have been fired 2 years ago. For those of you who don't know, I grew up watching Don Mattingly play baseball. Love Don Mattingly as a Yankee. Can't stand him as a manager. He's terrible. Needs to be fired. I don't think the Diamondbacks have enough to get back in the race. I do think that they will play a part in the Dodgers not winning the West, though. I really do. And if the Dodgers don't, if the Dodgers mess around, they might finish behind the Diamondbacks. But I don't think the Dodgers win their division. I really don't. And I think that's directly attributable to the manager. I really don't like Don Mattingly as a manager. I really, really don't. With the Mets and the Astros, again, it's nice to see the Astros doing well. Ty, we talked about this 2 years ago when I said to you that they're building a good young team and they just need time, much like your Twins are doing. If you look at your Twins are on the same path that the Astros are on. So for you Twins fans, all you got to do is look at the Astros, okay? Y'all are coming. You got Miguel Sano will be an American League MVP candidate next season. Right?
Wow.
Just like Jose Altuve. Just like Jose Altuve was an American League MVP candidate last season. I'm calling it right now. Miguel Sano's a beast. Wow. He's a monster. He's got 12 home runs and less than 200 at bats, people.
I know.
And he's a 300 hitter. On a bad day, he's a 300 hitter. He's probably going to average around 310, 320. That's his command to the strike zone with the bat. So, Twins fans, look at the Astros. Look at their team. You got the same team. You just need pitching. The Mets finally made moves, which is great. Remember a couple of years ago, we talked about Yoenis Cespedes when the Oakland A's traded him, and I said to you, his numbers don't speak to what he brings to a lineup. He brings something to a lineup that you can't quantify with numbers. The Mets are playing better. The guys around him in the lineup are playing better because he's there. Whether he hits or not, Yoenis Cespedes is a stud. He brings something to the table that you can't quantify. Just knowing he's in the lineup relaxes everybody else, and they're all hitting. Wilmer Flores, you name the guy in the lineup, they're all hitting. Wilmer Flores is hitting out of his mind. Okay, the Mets scored 14 runs in back-to-back days in Colorado. I don't give a damn if it was Colorado. It was the Mets scoring 14 runs in back-to-back games. Okay, the Mets. That's what Yoenis Cespedes brings to your lineup. That's why the Oakland A's, when they traded him that year to get Lester and all those guys, that's why they faltered down the stretch because they didn't have his bat in the lineup. And all you sabermetricians, you can go kiss my ass because he brings something you can't quantify with numbers. So calculate that. Otherwise, man, it was a lot of fun tonight, man. Chris Carter, don't think we forgot about you. Just because nobody else on your network chose to come for you and those other networks chose to come for you, don't misunderstand the fact that I'm coming for you because you coach high school kids. What the hell are you telling them?
Tomorrow, the cookout, we have him on the grill. That guy will be addressed. I have been getting proceed after proceed on what this guy has done, and I was the first one to advocate it. I was getting people that weren't even cool with me commenting on my page about that post about Chris Carter. So, Chris, I can't believe that you did this one, and let alone the guy that you were on stage with. It hurts me to say this because I'm a diehard. You on stage with Warren Sapp. How crazy is that? And he's up there co-signing it. Listen, Warren City, the cookout should be crazy tomorrow. So y'all tune in for that one. I told Chandler, let's sit on it so we could stew and really come with a power-packed cookout. I'll try to, you know, deal with a lot of the dishes that I had set up for the wrap-up. But the CC situation, for the Yankees, I feel like they should wrap him up because he's not pitching the best this season. Normally to the CC that I'm used to seeing him being up there dominating, people have actually been catching up to his pitch. I'm wondering if we are starting to see the decline of CeCe Sabathia. The Cubs are just getting it done, you know, night in and night out. The Mets actually had David Wright back. I'm wondering if David Wright still has pop in that bat to help his offense out even more. If so, the Mets are going to be even more scary. And, I mean, the Astros are kind of a mix of the Cubs to me. I mean, they're getting it done offensively and defensively, and their pitching has been phenomenal as of late, too. So, I mean, all three of these teams I definitely wanted to peg toward the kitchen, man. But we got a lot of stuff that we had going on, especially here at the wrap-up, a lot of interesting dishes. Looking at the post that they gave me, and I was reading while Nacho was just doing his closeout, McCourty said that he was moved to corner, but he's getting reps, and he hopes that it's not permanent. As it looks at the Roto situation on that depth chart, McCourty is still a safety. He is still a safety. So, people, they send for me. They send for me. And this is for the game up against the Saints. And the play that they put up there, boy, did Cooks torture him. Boy, and I know Belichick ain't going to sit there for that. But people, it's cool. We got to do what we got to do. We will see how this does turn out. If McCourty does end up starting the season at corner, he has not played there in the past three seasons, that'd be very awkward for them to start out the season, especially with them playing the Pittsburgh Steelers and knowing that these guys can go. They're going to have to deal with Bryant. They're going to have to deal with Brown. His hands will be full. But we'll see. Like I said, this is where he's supposed to get his reps to see if he still has it or not. Father Time has been tapping on a lot of dudes back, but we'll see. We will see. And again, in the NL West, Chandler said an interesting thing about the Dodgers. If the Dodgers do fall out, it'll be the San Francisco Giants back as the winner of the NL West. And could they go contend for a back-to-back situation for the World Series? I don't know if they're strong enough this year to do it, but if they did, that would be crazy because they definitely are under the radar because you're not really hearing that much about them like you did compared to last season. But Sports City, bring that to the kitchen tomorrow. We got a lot of stuff to throw on the grill. The cookout will be right back here, same time, 7 p.m. You already know the number, 907-889-9592. SportsCityChefs.com, that's the website. Got a lot of stuff popping off. We are 8 days away from the month of September. I can just smell week one of the NFL season. Serena taking care of business. Compton, I watched right out of Compton, came home to see Serena do her thing. I was like, I had a Compton type of day, so her doing her thing, you know what I mean, Compton, it's a lot of stuff. Sports, y'all stay focused with what we got going on. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
You take y'all somewhere else right now. Looking for a needle in a haystack. A nigga got zoned out with me, man. Got zoned out with me, boy. Check out the center. Real shit. Damn it, man, this is a gift from God. This ain't happenstance, and your arms are